Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your host, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Cole, Katie Singing Eagle. The call-in number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
Scooby-dooby-doo, shibby-dooby-doo, dooby-dooby-doo.
That is a funky intro, I'm telling you.
Hey.
I'm Iggy Garcia.
And I'm David Tucros.
And I'm... Katie Singing Eagle.
Yes, she is.
We are live today.
We are from an undisclosed location.
That's right. We're live here
in
on the show.
Universe.
We are here to share our knowledge with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like it, we're sorry.
That's right.
All right, then.
This show is by invitation only. It's like a...
Sven and Gretel.
It's like a mix of Irish-German.
Oh, boy. Okay, we're off to a roaring start here.
Yeah, roar. To all our lions and cuddly bears out there, hello. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, you were showing us that Grinch video that you have with Grinch in a yoga class.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Totally cracked me up.
Yeah, it's funny.
Just imagine the Grinch in yoga class, people. And the instructor goes, let out a yell and let go of all your hurts and whatever. And all of a sudden you hear this.
This incredible
this scream.
Yeah, this. And then she goes, excuse me, sir, are you okay? He goes, what do you say? He goes,
I'm a little messed up,
yes. It was funny. If you haven't seen it, go on my Facebook page. You can find it, Iggy Garcia, or David's or Katie's. I think I posted on theirs, too. But, yeah. So, how are you guys?
Oh, good.
Doing fine.
Yeah. Had a good weekend, actually, didn't we? We did the charity drumming at your, at Garcia's.
Yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a nice little turnout.
Mm-hmm. Got a good collection.
Yeah, thanks for dogs and cats and kids. And,
and canned goods.
Yeah. A different kind of energy there that night, though, wasn't it? A little bit.
Yeah, it was a little different, I would have to say. It was a little...
More spirit-charged, I think.
Spirit-charged, but yeah, at the same time, it was kind of like a distance. It was felt a little distant.
Yeah.
The energy felt a little distant, too, at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. And there's a lot of orbs.
People were catching things even more than normal.
I mean people took pictures, had videos, and they actually had, like, they could see pant legs, like, people walking by and stuff. It was just like...
Maybe it's just that time of year when, you know, spirits close by with all the thoughts people have of their past
loved ones.
And, you know, there's been a lot of activity in that building and in that whole area for a long time.
Right.
So, you know...
Well, the general lives there.
The general?
General Lou Wallace.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that. He were in that. Not, I don't know if it was in the building, but in that same area where building prior to. He actually wrote Ben-Hur, parts of Ben-Hur there.
Oh, okay.
So it's a historical fact. It's been recorded. And so it could be the general.
Yeah.
General Lou Wallace.
Okay.
Maybe he was there and he's picking up on the drumming.
Could be. We were definitely drumming hard. And
yeah, we were having fun. I was having a good time.
Yeah, and I hear, I've been hearing a lot of walking on that back balcony a lot. And I look out because I think it's one of my neighbors and it's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like someone's walking up back and forth.
Hey, restless spirits.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you know, the veil is lifted.
Yeah.
In my opinion. There is no veil. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's like communication all over. I mean, I've been having crazy dreams and waking up in bed. Someone like spooning me and holding on to me.
Wow.
And rubbing my back. When I turn around, there's nobody there. It's just like...
I've had that.
You know?
Yeah.
I was telling, I think our friend Adriana, I said, I just hope it's not like a 200-pound man.
Dude, like, respect my space.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with being spooned, but just make it as the opposite sex in my particular taste, you know? But we've seen a lot of apparitions and stuff just in the different things we're doing. I mean, I think we're just I think what it is, in my opinion, this is my belief, is that we're tuned in a little differently now than we probably were even 6 months ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or even a week ago.
Because I asked somebody, did they see or feel anything, and they didn't. So maybe it's just certain people, certain one of us who, because I guess if you decide not to see or hear things, then you won't.
That's true.
And I have a friend that was down and witnessed that crash at Broughton High. And he said one of the spirits from the people that got killed was following him, that was with him. And I told him, well, send the spirit off into the light. You know, you can do that. You can tell them why they're lingering around and try to help them find their place home or where they're supposed to, their resting place is supposed to be.
That's
or why they're restless.
Some people probably don't even know they died.
No, especially when it happens fast like that.
Fast like that.
You're just standing there watching it like a bystander.
Yeah, because there was two people that got caught up under the bus. That the bus
really?
Over, so.
I don't know if you remember when we went over to Joan's house over there. Is it Joan's or Cindy's house? Cindy's mom's house. Is there Joan?
Mm-hmm.
Feel free or whatever.
Okay.
Well, there was a gentleman there who was passing out these soul proof. What if you really
I have that.
Yeah, I have that.
I've been watching
listened.
It little by
yeah.
little. It's a documentary written by Andy Lynn who. And it's about, there's a website called soulproof.com. It runs about 93 minutes, but it's really interesting. It talks about near-death experience, people who are reincarnated, people who have died, people who have come back. And I don't know, I just started watching it in the last maybe.
It's a video?
Yeah, it's a DVD. Okay. It's a DVD. It's a video. It's a whole, it's a documentary.
Okay.
And it's really cool. And I was like, it's been sitting here, and I'm going, wow, I need to check that out. And it's just, I just sat there and watched it. I haven't finished it yet. Because it's just so deep. You know, it has to be, you have to be kind of in that place to watch it.
Right.
It's pretty intense, pretty cool.
Okay, because I
know you all have got one.
I've got it.
I'll dig it out.
I've been going through my stuff, and I just found it last week, so.
Okay.
I want to let Lori watch it. She always has questions about that. She's really researched and is interested in it. You know, on one hand, she's very wanting to know about that, but on the other hand, she's very skeptical, too, so she kind of goes back. She's a Libra, so she goes back and forth between those two. Those two polarities, you know. Yeah, you know, it's she won't sometimes even believe the evidence of her own eyes and her own senses, you know, because she still doesn't want to be fooled or.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah, misread what, you know, could be explained away, that kind of thing. So
that's a good point that you bring up. You said sometimes even we see things, we don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right in front of us, you know, and it's like, wow. And that's a powerful statement you just said.
Well, it's that's her condition, you know. That's
yeah,
the thing with a lot of people. Won't because it's outside of their paradigm or their, you know, what they're expecting or taught, brought up, you know, as reality. So,
and I wonder why that is. I mean, even though you're saying to me, you know, it's out of their reality, inside of them, and it's right in front of them, you know, like, and it just like it's not real or something to them.
Yeah,
like it's not really happening or
right.
couldn't happen. You know, it's kind of. You know, is that someone's projection onto you and you can't believe it or what? You know, because that's kind of what the post I made on Facebook was about a little bit and how other people project things onto you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they project them onto you, if you don't agree with them, they get kind of mad.
Right.
You know, and I mean, we should be able to have our own opinions of what we think is true or what isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there may be 100% proof that, you know, you know, along this line that says it is. Katie and I were discussing that a little bit earlier, just how our love and light community sometimes can be the hardest on each other. You know, creating limiting beliefs or creating these illusions that don't necessarily fit your belief system.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. If you're not acting in this particular way or, you know, feeling this particular feeling or, you know.
Or my thing is, love and light people don't do that. Okay, is there a book somewhere? Is there a poster or something that I miss something?
Mm-hmm.
Is there somewhere that I'm not allowed to be upset or angry or have an emotion or, you know, maybe I'm just expressing love in a different way at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Love has a lot of different flavors. And also, we're human beings. We process things. You know, emotion is a process.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you release. It lets you, facilitate an emotion, a feeling, and come to a different place. And I won't stop being a human being, you know. I mean, that we can just be human beings in a more open way and in a more loving way and in a more accepting way, you know. And that.
Yeah, sometimes you feel crappy.
Yeah, you do. You wake up and you go, yeah, I'm just not right today.
You know, I've even tried to, you know, talk myself into a positive light, you know. But sometimes you just don't want to go there.
No.
I'm like, Augie, you're going to have a good day. You're having the best experience you're having. Man, screw this. I'm mad, you know. I want to be PO'd, you know.
Well, for me anyway, what I find is my lesson that I take from that is to let it flow through me, you know. I can feel that emotion and go, blah, blah, you know, and just it'll go through me, and I'm done with it. I'm not holding on to it. I'm not feeling guilty because I had it. It just goes, you know. It was like
good point.
It's like on a surfboard, you know. I don't look behind me and go, oh, that back there was a tough, you know, because you're not in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stay in the moment, you know, and just go, hey.
And that's a big thing that you bring up, being in the moment too, because I try to. I don't want to use the word try. I do try. I really work hard to stay focused on that, knowing that this is what we have right now is in front of us is very valuable.
Right.
Things that happen to you don't. But I just got to the point where I'm thinking, well, my belief system is because of other people's beliefs, which is probably true to some degree.
To a degree, yeah.
But at what point do you say, well, how do you create your own belief system within belief systems? You know, because here are other people projecting their beliefs on you. It could be Christian, Muslim. It could be whatever. It could be whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at what point do you craft this one system that centers you and validates you? And so, you know, I got to the point where I was just like, hey, you know what? This is what centers me. This is what grounds me.
Mm-hmm.
It's all love. And, you know, it's good to be here. Those are one of those things that charge me up. And Ho'oponopono, those are the things, you know, that work for me. But I always find that there's always somebody who's got to throw a little wrench in my thinking.
That's because you're not acting according to their idea of who you should be.
And so it's like, man, hey, no, it's this way. I'm like, well, that works for you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But maybe it'll work for me later if I can see what you're seeing. Maybe I just don't see what you're seeing. You shouldn't judge me and damn me because I don't see it the way you see it. Maybe I just don't have the eyes yet to, you know, focus on that or be in tune to that. Or maybe I've surpass that. Maybe I'm somewhere else. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't truly know that answer, but that's why I wrote the post. That's why I was like, can't we just be human beings too? Can't we just have a human spiritual experience or a human experience, whatever it needs to be at whatever given moment?
You can't tell me my way of being ascending or working on these things or, you know, transforming myself into who I'm supposed to evolve into, you know, along these lines. That's my journey. That's my path. And if I have to pass through this tough time or these feelings and go through them, then it's molding me. It's actually shaping me into who I'm supposed to be. It's not the same as your path, you know, and you can't judge me for that.
I guess what bugged me was when someone told me, goes, you have to do this, you have to do that.
You don't have to do shit.
And I'm going, why do I have to do that? I'm like, I don't have to do that. So whether you're not awakened, you're not an awakened person. I'm like,
right.
Well, number one, what does awakened mean? Right. What are you trying to tell me? Well, you're having symptoms, but you're like, symptoms? What are you talking about? You know, come on, you know?
That's judgment, see?
It's judgment.
That's
just as judgmental as somebody from the Christian or any other faith coming up and telling you you're wrong because, you know, you don't believe exactly as they do.
So if I want to be a goofy, silly guy, that's where I'm at. Yeah. And I'll attract goofy, silly people who want to have fun with me. You know, if it doesn't appeal to you. You know, and all of us, I know all of us, you know, pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
We never tell anybody to do anything. We invite people to come into the space and share, you know, what's on our minds. If you like what we're talking about, then cool. If you don't, then cool, you know. It doesn't change us. We just do what we do.
I was kind of thinking about that with my post, too. I kind of look back on them and go, you know, I'm starting to say kind of like, we should do this or we need to do that as a human race or whatever. But still, that's all just my opinion, you know.
It is your opinion.
Yeah, I'm expressing that and I feel free to express that.
Absolutely.
But I also don't want to impose that. Certainly can't impose that on the rest of the human race. But I'm just saying that. To look at it like, okay, what if we all did this, or what if we all kind of started to think this way in this particular situation? You know, what changes would come about?
And number one, I don't want a guru. Number two, I don't want to be anybody's guru.
Right.
No, there's there's more goo in the roo, you know.
And I'm just managing this guy.
And remember, if you remember Michael Myers made the movie The. I forget what it was.
The Love Guru.
The Love Guru.
Love Guru, yeah.
Gee, you are you. You know, he put Guru on that. And I was thinking, you know, this is a funny movie, but this really has some good points on it.
Uh-huh.
Gee, you are you, you know. And, you know, that was comical, but no, I don't know if anybody really got it.
You
know, but I get it. You know, I'm like, here we have these, you know, these hidden gems within, you know, movies and stuff.
Right.
There's a movie on Netflix called Kumari.
Have I seen that?
And Kumari is just this guy. He did a an experiment of seeing. He went and learned about how gurus were, and then he did an experiment on how many people he can get to follow believe that he was a guru.
That was on 60 Minutes too.
And they did. It's funny how all these people. And then they would chant his name, Kumari, Kumari. And Kumari kind of means love and light and all that, that word does. But it's just so, it was hilarious how this guy got these people to do
it. I understand that, I haven't seen it, but I understand that even after he told them, some of them still believed
him. Wanted to follow him because he did, even in his own experience, and he was an atheist, he did find love in the path of light and love himself during the experience.
Right.
So he became kind of enlightened to what was going on into the spiritual path when at first he was just kind of goofing off saying, let me just do this.
Wanted to prove a point or something,
how
easy people could be fooled or fall into that.
You have to watch that.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably watch that when I get back from soccer tonight.
There's a time, I think, in our development where we put where we need the teaching from outside, where we put our idols outside and we want to emulate them and, you know, connect with them. Mm-hmm. We pray or, you know. There's a time to bring it inside, too, and to go, you know, I've been this all along. You know, I'm the Savior I'm looking for. I'm the God that, you know, there's God in me, is what I'm saying, you know. And for some people, that's almost blasphemous or hard to wrap their heads around because we keep ourselves so small. You know, we don't believe that we could possibly contain that source that is runs the whole universe and is runs throughout the whole
universe. That's true. It's just like there's salt water in us, you know.
A lot of people in different religions are taught, too, that they have to have a priest. They have to have a guru. They have to have a minister to go through or someone to go through to get to God. But in Scripture it says that's why God sent Jesus. That's why he sent in the Vedas. That's why he sent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he sent the latest person, Prabhupada. He sent people to teach people that they can just go straight to God and have a personal relationship with God.
Right. We don't need a
and
gatekeeper.
Not need someone else that they have to go through in order to say, hey, God, I'm here. Help me.
Oh, just a minute. God will see you in a moment. I'm going to go tell him that, okay, she's got a problem here. And what do you think? Okay, I'll let her know that. He says that, you know,
You don't need a middleman.
You know?
You can go straight to God yourself or to the divine or to the. You don't need a middleman.
I truly believe that's why Christ came here. It was to open the door for us and say we are the door to God, you know, to each other and that connection.
He was the one he showed the way. And there was other people to show the way. Buddha and all those were there to show the way, just to point the way. They weren't there to be worshipped. They're middlemen.
Right.
Why worship a middleman when you go straight to the source?
Mm-hmm. Well, it says, you know what, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have another God, right? So there shouldn't be anything in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Those middle people are just pointers. They're signs. They're
Which way do I go? That way.
And your God can be money, it can be sex, it can be anything that you esteem higher than your connection to that source, you know?
And you can tell when source is trying to communicate with you because you get this feeling. I get this feeling. Let's just use Iggy as an example. I get this feeling that, you know, when I shut myself off. But I shut off. When I shut off a little bit, I can sense when, you know, spirit is just trying to communicate to me.
Right.
And says, hey, we're going to get you out of this funk, you know? It's got to be your choice, though. It's got to be your decision to get out of this funk. I can't tell you to get out of
this
funk.
It'll come to you in so many different ways.
Let me show you this picture over here.
Yeah.
Or let me show you this Grinch laughing.
Here's this
song,
yoga
class.
That speaks to you.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how God works. I think God is just. There's no mystery about God. God isn't mystery. God is very simple and very easy to understand if we have the eyes and the ears to be receptive to it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
And then, now, as we said at the beginning of the show, the veil's lifting now. You know, more than ever before, we're beginning to see through some of the things that have been held up between us and Source, God, the universe, whatever you want to see, the living universe that we are all part of, you know, and that's it's becoming apparent. You know, hypocrisy is becoming apparent. The domination and the oppression of the power structures that be are becoming apparent, and we're waking up. Some of us are already awake. Some of us are in the process of waking up. Some of us are afraid to wake up.
And some of us are on the sidelines watching.
Yeah.
And some people like to stay in their little box. They like to be controlled and stay in their box, and that's what's comfortable.
And
to
you
stay.
Still got people walking around going, shh, go back to sleep.
Yeah.
You don't want to wake up to this. Don't wake up.
Don't wake up.
Good.
And then you have people who are just very disruptive. People who are disruptive, you know, just want to disrupt, you know, disrupt your flow.
Right.
They'll say something stupid. They'll call on the show and say something ridiculous to try to get a, you know, a jai, you know, or a rise.
You know.
But it's like, okay, fine, whatever. Okay, ha ha.
What does the river do to a rock? It goes around. It
goes around.
Care,
keep going. Keep flowing. Okay.
Eventually, we'll wear you down.
That's right. Eventually.
Yeah. It's all good. You know. I think
whatever your path is, you got to follow your bliss. That's what I'm spiritual word to. Follow your bliss.
My bliss is living to McDonald's. I don't know about that, but no.
So follow your TIE fighter.
Whatever your path is.
Right.
Your path may take you up over the mountain. Mm-hmm. Your path may take you a tunnel through the mountain.
That's right. Ask the dwarfs in Hobbit about that.
Yeah.
Which that's coming out Wednesday, The Hobbit,
the
final chapter.
Yeah.
A book that made into a movie.
Oh, I like that one long-haired dwarf or whatever his name is with the mustache.
They all had mustaches.
What is that? I can't think of his name. Gillian or something. He was a very handsome dwarf or something.
Well, I'm not going to go quote The Hobbit here. Because I don't know.
You know me.
One of our fans might correct me.
Oh, well. I was in love with the Christmas elf once, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, you're related to Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's about five generations ago.
That's cool.
So, you know, I know a lot about what really goes on up there. So it's not what we think in our
mind.
Is it true
you got? Is it true what they say?
About?
She's accused of sexual harassment.
Well, he does see you when you're
working the elves to death.
Actually, they don't make toys up there anymore.
Oh, really?
Isn't that voyeurism?
where do they make toys, David?
Someone's watching you sleep.
He's setting us up here.
No.
Where do they make toys?
Taiwan. No, I don't know.
Okay.
No, because there's enough physical toys in the world with the elves and St. Nick, whatever you want to call them, the spirit of Christmas, you know. Mm-hmm. What they do is they try to get us to love them and care for each other more.
That's cool.
They work with that, you know, because that's really what Christmas and this whole holiday season, all the things that are wrapped up in, is all about.
And you were Santa Claus this weekend.
I was.
You were creating the charity and opening the hearts and to give and share with people.
We're all
who
Santa's little helpers.
That's
right. Put on our little hats with the little, you know, tassel on the end or whatever.
Little,
and
little ball-y.
Go for it. Yeah. It's good. It's good. You know, we all can take part in that. So.
What?
I played Mrs. Claus before.
Yeah.
I had a whole costume when I lived in
New York. I was Santa Claus 1 year, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wore
that
Santa Claus suit.
Yeah.
A friend of mine let me borrow. I was like Dancing Claus or something.
Dancing Claus.
Panda Claus.
Oh, and I even see Rasta Claus on the...
Oh, yeah, Rasta Claus, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, Santa doesn't look anything like those things because he looks like everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Transcends that.
Cool. Like a llama?
Sort of,
llama
yeah.
Claws.
Llama Claws.
So whatever you want.
Yeah,
Klaus.
Cool.
Klaus.
Well, if you like what we're talking about.
If you can understand what we're talking about.
If you can understand what we're talking about, let us know in the chat room. We're going to take a call here, and we want to ask you a question of what you think about the holidays and the things that are going on in your life, and we want you to share versus just giving opinions or wanting a reading. But if you want to read, we'll give you a reading. That's fine, but... But we like to see what our listeners also are getting from our show and what the holidays mean, you know, because the holidays is different for everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some people, it's a very traumatic time. And for a lot of people, it's the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen both sides of the spectrum. I have never really seen the middle, you know, because it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Really.
It's like, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's either take it or leave it. Oh, yeah. It's great. This is the best time. So let's go with this caller here. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello.
Hi, what's going on?
Hi.
What's your name, caller?
Sure, my name is Jay.
Jay, what's
happening? Jay, what's on your mind tonight, Jay? What are you thinking about? How do you feel?
Well, I'll take a reading, but I will answer the question too. About the holidays. I normally don't really celebrate the holidays. You know, it's just it's way too commercialized.
Oh, amen
so,
to that.
You know, so I just kind of do my own thing, so to speak. Okay, and that's cool, with good. A lot of the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, even the 4th of July. A lot of times, you know, for me, seems to be a highly commercialized, and sometimes we miss the point, you know, we miss the depth of it. And so I just kind of practice to myself.
Very good.
I like that.
Thank you for sharing that thought. So any direction you want your reading to go? Do you have a question?
Oh, I am open to anything.
Open to anything. Okay.
All right. Open. Just a general kind
general
of what's
reading.
Going on with Jay reading here.
All right. Well, I pulled a card for you. The card is the Otter. The Otter is saying to surrender and let go of control. Otter is saying to be playful, to be swimming, to dance, be in the water and move around and just kind of just be free with it. Let it go. Let it flow. I think you're already doing that with the attitude you're having about Christmas. You just commercialized, you know, and you know that there's more to it than that. It means more than that. And so Otter's just saying now it's time for you. Just be fun.
Fun.
Be out with the other Otter, the other people, like-minded people who are with you, and just dance with them and swim with them. Anybody else want to add anything?
Wow.
Well,
I got the Wave, which was kind of fun because it's also about being in the moment, you know, being flexible, you know, balance and control. But at the same time, you've got that kind of openness to everything that's going on around you. You know, it's a transcendent state to be on the wave and in the flow, because you're not attached to the past, you're not dreading the future, or, you know, you're not focused on that. You're just you're in the moment, and you're moving, always moving. So it's a good card. It's actually a good card for what we're talking about tonight.
And Katie, anything you want to add?
And I pulled a card that says, "You're the boss." Trust your own instincts and feelings. Don't go by what other people want and think for you.
There you go. I like that.
Wow.
You're the captain of your own ship.
Awesome.
That is perfect.
All right, my friend.
Thank you all.
Jay, bless you, and you have just the right attitude, I think.
Really well.
Thank you.
Good for
you. Thank you. Many blessings.
Bye. You too. Happy holidays.
I always thought Tony Danza was the boss, but hey.
You're not the boss of me. How do you say that?
I remember that show.
You're not the boss of me.
Tony Danza is Tony Danza. Story time.
In Tony Danza, the story.
Growing up, nobody could really tell me what to do. I was always saying, "You're not the boss of me. I don't have to do what you say."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It would get me smacked sometimes, but
really?
Especially from my parents.
"You're not the boss of me. Shh. You're still not the boss of me. Shh. Do that again. You're not the boss."
I wouldn't do it that way.
As a kid, you just kind of learned, you know, how to deflect it, I guess, you know, after a while, how to manage the adults, you know, in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give this appearance of that. And, you know, back, I used to hear, although this wasn't practiced at my house, you know, "Children should be seen and not heard," that kind of thing.
I've heard people say that.
You know? I heard it a lot.
I never heard that in my house. But
back in the 60s,
good luck with that, you know.
70s days. And before the 70s,
right.
Usually.
Right.
Children were seen and not heard.
Man, I don't know where.
No.
I don't know where I. Good thing I wasn't born into a Caucasian family, huh?
Yeah. You were a little bit of a rascal as a kid.
I was a rascal, man. I don't know how they did it with me.
Yeah.
They must have chained me up or something. I don't know. I don't even want to ask anymore.
Right.
I blocked that out of my memory.
Speaking about indifference, you know, how some people are indifferent. Me right now, I'm kind of indifferent because holiday season, because my mom was the person that made the holidays. She was the person that made the holiday special. Before her, it was her mother.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother made the holiday special. And now there's nobody really in my life to make it special for me, unless
right.
I just make it special for myself.
Right.
Which I do have a friend who, she decorates her home. She's like a single person about late 30s, early 40s. I've never asked her age. But she'll decorate her apartment and put up a tree and put the presents she has for other people and stuff around her tree. And she just makes it festive. And I look at her pictures on Facebook. She does it every year. And I guess you have to, whatever it is for you yourself, you have to do what's for yourself. And me, I just haven't gotten, since my mom passed, I just haven't gotten there. Just like last year, I spent Christmas with my sister in Georgia. And my sister decorated her house and stuff because she has grandchildren and grown children. And she has my niece, the youngest. She's like, her youngest child is like about 9, 10 years old. And then she has grandchildren and stuff like that. So she decorated and makes the house festive for the kids. But just like when you're a single older adult and you don't really have anybody really in your life, other people, you can share with other people and be festive with them, or you just, you know.
I'll skip it.
Sometimes it's like,
Yeah. I like to drive around and look at the Christmas lights and things like that. I like to see what other people have put up and everything.
I like doing that, too.
Yeah. It kind of gets me more in the Christmas spirit, but you wouldn't know it by looking at the house I live in, because we don't have hardly anything up. I think this year Lori bought like a birch, looks like a birch tree. It's probably about this tall. And it's got little lights on it, but there's no decorations on it. It just sits there with the lights on it, you know.
Dog and a cat looking at it.
Yeah. Everyone goes in their own way.
All right, let's take a break. Come right
okay.
back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening with InsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
You know, I was following my soul self one time.
Yeah, like just now.
But I got a restraining order put on me, so I can't be following my soul self anymore.
That's funny. Yeah, restraining order on yourself.
Yeah.
That's good.
Makes it hard to take a shower.
But let's take a caller.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the show. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me now? You are live, if you can hear my voice. They might be just listening, so we'll just
That's
put them
true.
Back on pause.
That's true.
Let's go down to the next caller. As the little wheel spins and spins. Oop, they hung up. Scared
State
them.
State your name and give
scared
me
them
number.
Off. The call-in number is 646-595-3440.
Yeah.
Or star 786 if you're on Antares.
Yes.
Antares.
All right. We'll just move on down the line. How's it going, guys? We're back on the line. We're back on the air. Chat room's a little quiet today.
Good.
Which is okay. It usually happens. But let's try this caller again. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're on Skype, right? Okay.
Okay, yeah. I'm not calling from Skype, I'm calling from my cell phone. This is Onyx from Cali.
All right, what's going on? Hello.
Yeah, I was just thinking about what you're talking about. We know the topic is about the holidays and religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think back to the religion that I was actually raised up in. I was raised one of the most rigid and conservative sections of Christianity, Baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll often tell my mom, I was like, Mom, do you know what we used to do in ancient Africa? Because, you know, you're talking about, you know, different spiritual systems and what people's beliefs are. You know, we believe in the Trinity, you know. But like, I mean, what our original culture was like, praying to, like a lot of the ancient world was, to the ancestors, to spiritual deities. We did believe in a supreme creator, but we didn't just like just pray to. We did pray to mediums, like to like totem statues and gods and stuff. A lot of us were nature worshippers. So it and today my mother is like, she considers like those types of religious devil worshipping. But I'm like, nah, that was us. We used to pray that stuff. But people still pray to that today. So it's, you could even find it on like Nile Valley, like the little hieroglyphs in the walls of Egypt. You find them, you'll see people worshipping stuff like that. So, but I did want to do a reading, and I also had a question. Before that, I'm an empath, and I knew that I could sense energy like around 15. It's beat the heck out of me, but I always wanted to know, how do you control something like that? Because when I focus real hard or think of something, a subject, it kind of brings all that emotion or that hidden gift I got to the surface in it. It's like a range of emotions that's spiraling, and it attacks my brain like it's about to blow up. Has anyone ever explained it to you that way?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that pineal gland activating, or is that like your spiritual is kind of like awakening, or what is that?
Well, for everybody, I would say it's probably different. Everybody has their own experience, kind of like you're explaining your experience, how you have it. Being empathic is also being open to receive and to the connection, that either with earth connection or with human connection or both at the same time. For me, it's, for example, is human and animals and trees and living things. So talk about a bunch of energies running through your mind and how you channel that. One things that I do personally is just try to find a way to ground myself in that energy, and knowing that you know how people are feeling. You can kind of pick up on it. You can sense it. But you don't have to own that energy. You don't have to own that emotion if you don't want to, unless you want to. But there's certain mantras that I would do for myself. I would say, I would say it's good to be here. And that's one I use. It's all love. Understanding is just love expressing itself. And yeah, I mean, when you're empathic, you feel it all. Sometimes you don't know what you're feeling, just feel it. And I know Katie feels it. I know David feels it. We all kind of feel different.
Dealing with that, especially as a young child and into adulthood, you know, I found that I brought people into my life that would kind of feed off that part of me that, you know, was very empathic and almost a chameleon-like. You know, I'd get people in there who would want to almost dominate my life or be very, overwhelming to me, and they're needy. And when they see somebody who responds to that need and can understand it and connect with it, they are attracted to that. And they'll go in there and they'll get what they need out of it, but they're also taking from you. So you've got to be careful to moderate that and to control that interaction that you have. Put up some guardians, you know, spirits or barriers, or you know, some levels that will protect you from that. Put up some layers of protection as well. So, like you said, grounding, making sure that you don't give yourself away to something or become so overwhelmed that you lose who you are and why you're here. There's usually a reason why you're feeling what you're feeling, and there's a reason you were given that gift, and that is to use it as a tool to help others. And so connecting with that attitude in mind, you're not doing it on just kind of a impulse from the gut kind of thing. You're working with it more as from the heart and from, you know, understanding that it's a calling.
Again, it's a gift for you. It's a gift for you, too, to understand that, you know, it's also a way for you to be aware of things,
right?
Cognitive things. So it's not like something that's, it could be a curse if you want it to be, but it's not really a curse. Yeah. I look at it more like as a blessing.
It is.
Something you can do, too, is just like you come from a strict Christian background, so did I. I came from apostolic Pentecostal background, and the book we used, the version of the Bible, was King James. There was nothing else. But later on, when I studied religion, I'm a studier, I found out King James wasn't right in the head either. So, but coming away from that, something you can use that does come from Scripture is you know, when they talk about the armor of God, putting on the helmet, the helmet of salvation, it protects your mind, and it protects your mind from being inundated with thoughts and things from the outside. So it's like putting on a helmet, you know, a metaphysical or spiritual helmet,
mm-hmm, sure,
to protect your mind from other people's thoughts, feelings, and what's going on with others. Or you can see that if you, especially when you go into a crowded room of people, because sometimes you can go into a crowded room, if you're like me, you go into a crowded room and then you're just overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So before I go into a crowded room of people or some kind of meeting or something, I make sure I protect my mind and my feelings from feeling what other people feel. Sort of do a little, just like Iggy said, do some sort of mantra, or I kind of picture these individuals and I take all their little thoughts and I put them in a box and close them up until I'm actually, and that way I put them away until I'm actually in front of someone who really needs my help. And then I can open up their box, feel what they're feeling, tell them about what needs to be done if I know what I can do to help them, and then I can take it and put it back in that little box or put the guards up or shields, some people call shields,
mm-hmm,
to keep that from bothering me, or then I send it later back out into the ground or the universe or somewhere where it can do the highest good rather than keep it within myself, because you never want to keep others' feelings and thoughts within you. You want to release that and let it go once you're done working with or healing that person. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
I know we've given you a lot of information, but stones are good. Crystals,
yes,
are good.
Mm-hmm.
Saging and smudging.
Onyx and hematite are good,
mm-hmm,
for grounding. So, yeah.
The biggest thing
way
is invitation.
Yeah.
You know, invite yourself not to receive those informations too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to yourself. You know, say, hey, you know what? Today we're going to go flow this way and move that way. You'd be surprised. You can control things like that. But
yeah,
you
can control those things that coming from other people.
And David said it earlier. A lot of people are really needy, and when they know you're empathic, man, they can sense,
yep,
it. They don't even know. They're
outside your door.
Man, they don't even know that you're empathic. They just know that there's something special about,
yeah,
you. You know, and it's just like, wow, this guy listens to everything I say.
Yeah, I got told that a lot,
you know.
So what is the reading that you want? You want us to, you have a question, particular question, or something you're
just
looking
general,
for?
General?
Or we can just randomly pick cards like we do or try to pick up?
I guess one of my favorite areas of relationships, I guess.
Well, I think
no,
the Ken Griffey.
It's a
Ken
popular
Griffey
one, yeah.
That's why I laugh.
I picked the Ken Griffey card.
No, Ken Griffey card.
His rookie card. Sorry.
Like, what's my, like, what's, I guess basically, what's holding me back from getting into that next relationship? Because I've been out of one for like maybe, you know, 4 years on and off. But I guess there are people I like. But I guess there's something about me that I'm kind of like, something I feel like mentally I'm holding myself back, and I'm like, dang, how do I get over this mental hump and I can actually talk to this person? You know, I'd like to know what's it. I can't quite figure it out yet, but
do you have a pen and paper? Do you have a pen and paper there?
No, I'm in my walk in my room.
Okay.
Okay, I have one now.
Okay. Spirit saying, why oh you? Got that?
So
we're
spirit
the
thing, you said Y-O-U?
Y-O-U, yeah. And that can be just,
okay,
that's as simple as it reads sometimes. But what happens is we get in our own way. We get in our own way with the belief systems that we created, the things that we've learned along the way, and the things that we've let people teach us about relationships and how we respond to other people in relationships. The biggest things, when we get in our way, you get in the way, we're the ones that put the blocks up. We know what we want. We know what we like. We know what we're looking for. But what happens is we get so inundated with so much information and so many things from other relationships we're in that we forget who we are in the relationship. We forget who the person is, who you are, how you fit in the thing. You're in this beautiful thing. You're riding right along. And all of a sudden, you don't like this person anymore. And you're going, why don't I like this person? It's because you gave yourself away. And you, that's the big word, is you gave yourself away. They didn't give you away.
Right.
You opened up the doors to allow certain things into your life that you maybe you weren't you know, jiving with, but she says, ah, she's pretty, she's cute, or whatever, vice versa, whatever it would be, however, whatever your preference is. You know, you allow that person to project onto you things that just, you know, were temporary, and you dealt with it. But now, here's an opportunity for you to go into a new relationship and or relationships with people to be create these partnerships with them and say, hey, you know what? I know that I'm going to have to give some things up, and I know that they're going to have to give some things up. Are they going to be willing to give things up? I know that I'm willing, because empaths give themselves up all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing. One thing you've learned today, you're empathic, and you've already known that. And you've given yourself up a lot as an empath. So you also have the power to bring back your power to you, mm-hmm, and center it and focus it back onto you. So when you go into these, we talk about this on the show a lot, is healthy limits and boundaries with people. Understanding where people can go, where they can cross, and how far they can push you. Okay, have you set those boundaries? What's this person look like? Do you even know what this person looked like? Do you have an idea what they would look like? What you would want them to say to you? How they would want you to wake up in the morning? Do you want them to stroke your hair? Do you want them to make you a cup of coffee? Do you want to make them a cup of coffee? I mean, you have to get very personal. This is a personal relationship with yourself, with another human. You're sharing aspects of yourself that only that person will know, that other people will not know. So it's about you and the story you're going to create about this new person and how this person is going to fit in that story with you.
I pulled a card, and the card that I pulled says get grounded, which just like we were so funny, because about even it goes along with what was talking about earlier about being aware of the present, being aware of being mindful of where you are at all times. I mean, not that you're in a certain state or a certain, you know, car or something like that, but being present, being fully aware in your space, being one with the earth, being one with your present situation, being present in your body, knowing how you look, how your breath is, how your clothes are, how you look, being mindful. If that makes sense to you. So that's what this card means. Always be present. Don't wander off. You know how you can be somewhere and you can be with people and your mind's wandered off somewhere else?
Well, that's how I spent most of my relationships.
You have to, being grounded means being present, being in the moment. Always be in the moment.
Right. And for you, I pulled the card, it's the Devil's Club. This is from my Alaska deck.
Like
and
that.
Although the Devil's Club sounds evil and all that other thing, it's not. It's a plant that shamans use up in Alaska. It's a very powerful plant. It has thorns on it, so you get close to it and it'll stick you. So it actually signifies that there may be some processing that you need to do before you enter into a period of more healing and more openness and spiritual as well as romantic and personal growth. There might be some processing that you'll need to do from maybe a painful time in the past that you've had that needs to be worked through. But there is great healing that will come from that. It's an issue that's been sitting there in the background for a long time, and you haven't really delved into it because it is painful, but you will also, by addressing that, achieve great growth and actually go to the next level. But be gentle with yourself, it also says, and because Devil's Club leaves are very fragile. You can bruise them very easily. So there's a gentleness to this too. You know, work through the process, respect the process, take the time to really do it right and be good to yourself. Treat yourself like you would the person that you esteem the highest, you know. Just be good to yourself, work through it, and you'll be the best person you can be for this next person to come along in your life, however and whenever they do.
Yeah, and Spirit just hit me in the head to tell you to watch stand-up comedy. Don't know why, but you know what?
There could be a message.
There could be a message there within the stand-up comedy.
Right. I watched some Chris Rock this week, and boy, he had me laughing. I watched him on YouTube.
Laughter's very healing, too. But, yeah, that's what Spirit has given us to give you.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's tough. You know, being like he's been an empath, I think we can all kind of relate to that. But people will react to you in different ways. You know, like I said, some people will want to be around you because you feed what they need, mm-hmm. and other people will just want to make you cry or get upset because it's fun for them, or they like the reaction that they get out of you. And you know, but it's a real gift. It's a needed gift in this world to be mm-hmm. empathic, to be compassionate, to be aware of suffering and be motivated to do something about it. It's all around us, and many people, I think, we'd be more empathic if they weren't shut off at an early age, or if they weren't told, "Oh no, you got to toughen up. You got to have a shell. You got to be dog eat dog world here. You got to, you know."
That's true.
You can't care about the other person. You got to care about yourself. You know, we don't need that in the world anymore. That's the problem, is we have too much of that going on.
It's like if you come from a real religious background, sometimes people say, "Oh, that's of the devil." You know, you got spirits and demons speaking to you.
So things get discounted.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I told I was in Christianity for a while, and I told them, I've always felt like I had a light inside of me, and I got told, "That's Satan telling you, you know, trying to make you shine for your own glory." I'm like, "Look, dude, I know me, and I know what that means. It means love, and it's always been love, you know? And if that's evil, then maybe I'm in the wrong place."
Yeah. Maybe.
So I moved on, you know?
And sometimes what I do now, when I was a kid, I couldn't speak back so much to adults because children were seen and not heard. But today I say, where do you get your information from? Where'd you get that?
What'd you study? What's your seminary?
Yeah, where did you get that light inside me was from the devil or evil? Or
mm-hmm.
I confront people. When I was a kid, I would confront people too, but sometimes I'd get in trouble
until
I got to be more older, like 16, 17, 18. Then people would get tongue-tied. They would they couldn't answer me. So
and
if you know your
scripture as well as they do, and probably even better, then boy, you know, they'll try to roll out some dogma on you, and you can just go, "Nope, what says right here, this and this," you know, and you can look it up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, knowing scripture is one thing, but feeling scripture is another.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
Are you feeling what you're saying versus what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you know what you're feeling when you're saying it? Are you just reciting something that someone said or something was written?
Right. Right.
Just like on Facebook, someone said, "Oh, come to this." You know, I got an invitation from or a message from someone said, "Oh, you should come visit this church. It's under Bishop such and such and such and such and such." And then I wrote back, "He's a bishop. How many churches is he over? Can you ask me that question?"
Because
a bishop, when you're given that label bishop, you're supposed to be over several churches, not just one. But you have these self-proclaimed bishops that's over one church of one congregation, and they couldn't answer me. I said, "Then I don't, you know, I'm not feeling it.
Right. That's where you're feeling.
Thanks for the invitation, but."
For me, church happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I'm outside, it's where I'm at.
Yep,
it follows me around.
Yeah. I don't buy it.
Waiting for the timing. No,
I hate to say, coming from the strict background I did, and given being fed a bill of goods half my life, I don't buy into a lot of stuff people say. If they can't explain something to me or why they do a certain thing or have a certain way, then I'm like, you know, I've studied on my own and stuff. I don't need to buy into your hypocrisy.
Right.
Sorry, that's harsh. To some of you out there, that might be really harsh. But
the bishop's calling.
Reverend Doctor.
Welcome to the show.
Uncle Joe.
Hello, hello. Must be our listening group. All right.
How many people with 50 titles? The Reverend, Doctor.
The Reverend, the good.
White horse bundle. Cucumber slamming.
Yeah.
Bishop. Johnny Carson.
You had to reach for that one, didn't you?
Here's Johnny.
Here we go.
I've been there where this person has on. Why can't I just call you Bob or something?
Sometimes it's a big show. You know, it's just like how important am I that I get to be up here and you get to be down there?
I'm a bishop.
Yeah, I'm a bishop.
She can't say that.
Okay, my queen takes your bishop, knight to pawn too.
And why does the king only get one move? I don't know.
I'm a child. I went to speak at a couple conferences. I mean, here's a conference where there's like over 500 people or something. And they had my name card, and they had Reverend Catherine McNabb. And I said, "Could you please take that Reverend off of there and put Sister or
Sup?
you know, I said, I don't like titles. I've never liked titles, even though I've been ordained, I've done this and that, I still don't like titles. And then at this one particular conference, too, that I went to, they said, oh, the ministers are supposed to come to this dining room and eat with these people. And it was a youth conference, and the youth had questions. So, because I went and sat down and got my food with the youth. And I had a table, oh, we've prepared this for you and that. I said, no, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
I had a table full of kids asking me questions, wanting to know what scripture said, what this was about, what that was about. And I felt like I was in my element where the place I was supposed to be. I said, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm right here with these kids. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I feel comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable going to this elegant dining room where all these ministers and reverends
were. We can feel so important about ourselves up here.
Were having their much better fare. I mean, I could have been eating steak or something, or, you know, some great seafood while the kids were down there eating, you know, chicken and mashed potatoes. I'm like, why? And that's what they were doing. Later on, I did go to one of the dining rooms and eat, you know, with the ministers because they wanted me there with them. But that one time, I just felt like, no, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
That's good.
And it was just like, okay, okay.
You know, looking back.
Miss Katie, missing the steak.
That's okay, no problem.
You look back on Jesus' life, you know, and where did he go? He went down with, you know, with the sinners and the winos, and, you know, he was down there with the people. You know, he's where he needed to be. He did not like the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the
Sadducees,
you know, he called them whitewashed tombs because they looked good on the outside, but they were all dead on the inside.
Would he have been on our show? Would he have done an interview with
Jesus
us?
I would have liked
I
our
believe
show.
He would
oh, my
have,
God,
yeah.
He would have had fun with it.
I bet you could play a mean drum, too, if he put his mind to it, you know.
Drumming
the Sadducees
Jesus.
Were sad, you see, and the Pharisees were fair.
You see.
They were whitewashed.
That's right.
Let's move on to the next caller here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Iggy. Hi, everybody. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
We're doing good.
Hey.
Sounds
hey.
Like some of you know.
No, I spoke to you earlier in the year, but I heard you speaking about impasse earlier. And... caught my attention because, you know, I work with someone that's, he just, I don't, the energy that I receive from this guy is so nauseating. And I'm always trying to ground myself when I'm in his presence because he tries to go out of his way to annoy me or undermine me. But sometimes he gets the best of me, and I'm assuming that he's probably an empath as well because sometimes it seems like he's reading my mind.
Yeah.
And I want to figure out a way to block it.
Well, Katie, you could probably tackle that better than anybody here. But, yeah, it's sad because I think people can turn two ways with it. I think some people can use it and go towards the good and, you know, helping people, and some people can use it to abuse and misuse people, and it's a power and an energy, but it can be
very
used.
He's very abusive with it, and I see it, but I don't see. He's very abusive with it. I think he's intimidated by me. No, I know he's intimidated by me, but he really never had just cause. Now that he's pretty much set up a battle, you know, I do everything to avoid him. Unfortunately, I do have to work with him a certain time during the day.
Right. You know, what they say is hurt people hurt people, you know. So he's probably hurting inside and been abused himself. I guess that's maybe the seed of some kind of sympathy. I know you have good feelings inside of you that, you know, you can turn towards the situation. But it is hard. I have people that I work with, too, that are just almost repellent to be around, you know, because they're so negative. Maybe not to the degree that this empath person is, that they can't project it effectively like maybe this person can. But I know I'm feeling for you.
And ask you a question.
You
don't like when I ask you.
It's another location, but I also want to move. I have my heart set on my mother's house, and I also want to, you know, change jobs. I just want to see if it looked like it's going to happen early in the year.
Okay.
So this person's in your life for this temporary moment. Okay, so this person has been placed here somehow, some way, the way the universe works in its mysterious ways that we just don't know sometimes. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you feel like there's an aspect of this person reflects back at you, or are you here to witness the reflection that he's casting upon you?
It could be both, only because we're pretty much standing our grounds now. You know, because I've already had to express my views to him. So we're at odds. There's no ifs, and buts about it. So, I mean, he's giving it out, and I'm doing everything to try to ignore it and repel it back without responding. You know, because he's trying to annoy me. He's been harassing me, and he's been doing it for quite a while.
Sure.
And it makes no sense.
So there's something about you that he doesn't like, or
well, he's triggered by her,
yeah,
honestly.
Triggered.
I mean, the biggest thing that I can sense that there is something about you that just he sees something in you that how do I say this? There is something about you as a strong woman that he does not like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna say right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you're here, and if I had to guess, and I'm guessing only. He's there to teach you a valuable lesson about something that's going to come to you later on in life. I don't know what it is, okay? But there's something about his behavior, and you don't have to honor his behavior ever, okay? You can observe it because you're there. You're observing it, and there's nothing you can really do sometimes. You have to be the observer. What pieces and parts you take from him and assimilate into your own being is what you have control of. And I think you're doing the right things to not take in his negativity and his energy, but there's also parts of him that are casting you off. That you, even though you're pushing him away and you're doing all the things to protect yourself, you have to be careful that you don't close yourself off to the point where you're always going to be paranoid. You know, you're going to be thinking that someone else is going to. You know, he's going to put you in a state of mind that you don't want to be in. What I would rather you see is
I'm already there. We worked together in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he has gotten it to a place where, like, even the kids, if I come in the room, they walk away from me. Because he's their teacher. I come in the room at different times.
Sure, sure. And so you come into his space, and he feels violated somehow. There's a violation. It's not that you're doing anything to him, but he feels a violation. There's something that's not correct in his believing. So I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to ask you, by invitation only, is to send positive affirmations for yourself and for this person. Prayer, if that's what you feel like, to pray for this person, because this person has an unhidden agenda, not necessarily towards you, but his life is in a bad state of mind, okay, what I'm picking up energetically. It has nothing to do with you. It just happens to be that he knows that he can say certain things to you because at some point you've allowed him in, and now you can't get him out. You see what I'm saying? Now he's in there, and he just thinks he can tromp in there whenever he wants. Whatever's going on in his life, I don't know, but there's one thing you can do is control what happens in your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Controlling what happens in your life is super important. That's where we need to go. We need to understand. We know what he's going to do every day and how he's going to approach you, but if you're going to move into this next evolution of your life, this new place, this new job, wherever you need to be, we need to go in with a positive light. We need to go in with some vigor and some love. Okay, it's easy to discount people and be angry at them and whatever, and it's hard to love them sometimes too because they don't open up the way we think they should open up. And here's a guy who is not opening up, and we know that.
Yeah, I outwork him, and I know that he knows that.
Yeah.
I outwork him, and I'm not. I try to be modest, but we're in education. We're not supposed to dumb down, so I refuse. I challenge the kids beyond what he's willing to do. And I think because it's his room, he's intimidated by that. But I also still have my role as an educator. So now I find myself when I'm in his presence, instead of me doing my job, I've gotten to a place now where I had to go silent. And sometimes it gets so obvious that it's even unsettling for myself, and the kids are enjoying it because he's let them in on this battle, And I know he has reaction, which is so unprofessional, but he's very clever with that. I seen it last year, and I seen it again this year. You know, our bosses are aware of it, but they're not doing anything about it. I actually believe my other boss, who's a male boss, is actually using me to try to make him work more. And I don't feel good about that situation as well either, because I don't like this guy. Because this guy, he's a douche.
There's your first. That's the first start. That's what I want to hear you say. I want you to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this guy's a douchebag, then they should be. That's why you're at. That's a good start right there. That's a good start to release. You know, it's kind of what we talked about earlier in the show.
Being loved and
you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Bad, and
you know,
then he gets involved. But
here's the thing.
He reminds me of someone in my family, and I don't know if that's why I'm the depression.
Right,
he reminds me of my brother, who hurt me tremendously. When my mother died, and still hurting me now, and I'm trying, you know, these are the two hurdles that I'm trying to get past without responding to their ignorance and their rudeness.
Thank you for opening up like that and expressing your emotions. I really appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That statement you just said, they remind you of somebody. That's the question I was looking for when I told you this person's triggering you, why it reminds you of something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hurt. We all carry hurts. Every single person in this room has hurts, and we don't understand why certain people are triggered. But this person triggers you, and you probably don't have to see your brother every day like you have to see this guy. So he reminds you of your brother constantly, or at some level. And so here you are trying to heal and trying to move through. But that's a start, and we encourage you to maybe reach out to holistic practitioners in your community to help you process through this, because it's super important. We want you to be well. We want you to succeed. We want you to be loved. We want you to be in the light. And so either one of us could, you know, we could work with you, coach with you as well. But the thing is, you're taking the steps. And that's important, that you're taking the steps. Not anybody telling you to take the steps. You're willing to open up and expose yourself and get a little bit naked about these emotions that you're feeling. I know there's a lot we could talk about in the show. Maybe this isn't the appropriate place for that. But at least it's a start.
Right.
And do you cover yourself like in a prayer or in light or something like that on a daily basis?
Yes, I do. I constantly meditate. Even when I'm in that room, I constantly find myself going within to meditate. That's how I ignore him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause
it's
other
a part
than
of me that I have to just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old Hawaiian saying, if you're there and there's a problem, then you're part of the problem. But you don't have to own that belief. But there's also part of the solution, too. So think about that for a little bit.
It's a dynamic.
It's a dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think because I'm not responding, that's even making him angrier, because he wants me to get angry.
Yes.
He wants me to get angry so that he could, you know, be able to say, well, she got belligerent and da-da-da-da. And, you know, it's pathetic.
Well, there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on right here.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
It's a lot.
But you're being a conqueror or an overcomer, because you're not playing into what he's wanting you to do. So as long as you can kind of meditate on that inward person or that, because I was going to tell you to picture like a mild blue light in the middle of your being, or a purple light, or whatever your power color is as light, and meditate on that when that person starts to try to trigger you or try to get you to be, you know, to meditate on that calmness, that lightness on the inside of you. And sometimes, if need be, you can push that light out or that power out to where it covers your whole being, and that person cannot penetrate anything. It's usually other people can sometimes see that light and see that power and back away. But you don't always need to go that far unless it's a threatening situation. So it's almost like shooting those power balls. You see people, balls in their hand, and you can, those are real. You can, if you need to, you know, push that at him. But I don't think it's that serious to where you have to.
Spirit keeps telling you you're supposed to give this guy something. I asked, Christmas card? And he goes, she'll figure it out. You're supposed to get him something. I don't know if it's something nice or whatever. You're supposed to give him something. So you're going to have to really think about what that means, what you're supposed to give him. I picked a card for you. It's called the Badger. It's about perseverance. Dig in and see it through to its completion. So whatever spirit is asking you to do, you're going to have to be kind of creative about this. You're going to have to meditate on this and pray on this. But you're supposed to give this guy something. I don't know if it's a Christmas card, a gift, or just, I don't know.
Maybe a hug.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is, but the only thing
they're
I
push two magnets together.
I just keep hearing, tell her to give him something.
Yep.
And it's going to surprise you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add, David?
Well, just real quick, I pulled the Fox card. With the Fox is about inner wisdom and insight, living by wits and cunning, and laying low and observing. So, yeah, it's not... The battle is won not through confrontation many times, but by through observation and by negative people carry an energy in them that eventually will eat them up if they don't transform it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it all the time with people I work with. You know, they're 10 or even 15 years younger than me, but they look older than me because they've let that negative energy eat away at them for so long, you know, and it takes a physical toll on them. And so I just stay the course. Keep the high road, and it'll work out in your favor, I believe. At least,
yes.
At least the true colors will come shining through eventually, and you will move on.
Mm-hmm.
There's bigger and better things for you to do. Something's
coming for you.
I see something's coming for you in 2015. Something good. So keep your expectations open.
Thank
Absolutely.
You so much. I need
You're
it.
You're welcome. Good.
And buy yourself a Hershey's bar.
With Hershey? Yeah, that's what I'll give them, Hershey.
There you go.
Hershey's bar.
I'll give them a Hershey. All right.
All right. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate you. Love you.
Thank you.
All right, moving down the line here. Anything you want to comment on that?
Have you seen those big candy bars in the store that they have for gifts right now?
All the big Reese's.
Big Reese's and Snickers bar and big Hershey bar. And
supposed to slice it up.
No wonder we're all diabetic.
Then there's a big
old... Somebody sit down and eat the whole thing by themselves.
Oh, my goodness.
I saw a big Rice Krispie thing, too. Except for those things are too chewy. I like making my own Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah.
Because then they're nice and crunchy. The store-bought stuff got too much corn syrup or something in it. They don't use real butter.
That's right. I want a huge gummy something. You know, that sometimes it's
they have market has some big gummy bears
gummy
that are like this big.
Eat half of it.
Rubbery, tiny bite the ear off.
I was looking for like a gummy brain at Halloween.
Gummy brain?
Yeah.
A gummy brain.
Oh, that's cool. I will eat this brain.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
This jello of sorts.
World Market got a lot of odd stuff right now and toys and stuff.
Yeah.
Like you had that slidey whistle thing.
Yeah.
I was going to give you one.
Were you?
Yeah. I might give it to Iggy now.
Oh, wow. Sloppy seconds. No, I'm just joking.
That always reminds me of
I'll keep it for myself.
All right, let's go to the next call.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi
Hello.
There.
Hi. Welcome.
We hear you.
Hi, this is Susie.
Hey, Susie.
Hi,
what's
Susie.
Going on,
Susie?
Well, I don't know why I was supposed to call. I just knew I was, supposed to call. So my heart's, pounding, and it's really weird because I've never done anything like this. It's kind of funny. I don't know why I was supposed to call you guys. I just felt compelled, or I don't know what that's called.
Spirit
I was
move,
raised
yeah.
Catholic.
Yeah.
This is our first show.
Yeah,
no, I'm just joking. Just teasing. We're comical here. You sure you want a reading?
No. It's what you heard feedback on here.
Okay.
I don't
sorry.
Hear you good
Go
or
ahead.
Something. It's okay. I called in because, I don't know if you had people like me call you a lot. I'm a real sensitive type. I'm just going through something now. I'm 43. I'm just going through this phase where I'm searching for a direction and purpose. And I've just been going through a lot of changes spiritually. I've always been one way. my whole life, and not just one way, but really close to God my whole life, even as a child. Like just little things, like, you know, I had just wonderful family love made me feel close to God, even when I was just very little. Being close to nature all the time and being around nature all the time made me feel close to God. Like being around trees or flowers, I would feel close to God, you know, like very spiritual feeling. Like a breeze would come and I'd be like, oh my God, you know, I love you, mm-hmm. you know, I love you, God. So now struggling, being raised Christian faith my whole life, it's kind of difficult for me to go through these kind of changes because I'm more focusing on my, like, self, I guess. I don't know. It's difficult to focus on myself when you've been raised Christian, I guess. And I don't know. I guess I'm just looking for direction in that way. I've never asked for a reading. I've never had a reading of that type mm-hmm. of thing. But, yeah, and you probably know me from Facebook, but it's the first time I've ever called in. But, yeah, so this is odd for me, but that's pretty much it.
No problem.
Wow.
I want to thank you for at least, you know, giving the opportunity to open up like that and sharing that story with us. That's pretty powerful. There's a lot of people who the three of us have worked with over the years who have come out of their shell of some parochial system that has been one way and their life has been one way. Then all of a sudden, there's pieces and parts that are missing. Do you think?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I also connected with what you were saying about being close to nature, you know,
yeah.
being around trees and animals and flowers, and feeling that is the connection with God. That's your connection with spirit. And so I feel like that's very strong with you, and that's something
yeah.
that you can look into, definitely. I practice what I call indigenous spirituality, which means I'm open to just being in any setting, in nature or anywhere, and just having spirit work with whatever's there. With me and connecting with it, I'm just there to be of service and mm-hmm. open to whatever happens. And to me, that makes the most sense. I've gone through a lot of these systems of belief, you know, Christianity, Buddhism, some things, you know, even beyond that, and the pagan systems and everything. And while they each have their own individual good things about them and lessons to teach us, I really wanted
yeah.
to get back to just connecting with what I knew. The direct connection I knew I had with spirit anywhere, you know. So I would go out and see a rock or a leaf or a tree branch or something, and that spoke to me. I knew that was something I was supposed to connect with in some way. It was a communication going on there. So I just wanted to encourage you to honor that and to hold that, because that to me is the source of everything that man has built up. It really comes from that connection that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. What is your artistic or creative expression?
Oh, God, there's a lot.
okay.
I love to paint when I can, but I don't take the time to do it, you know. But mostly probably just singing. I used to sing and worship every day. Every morning to God. And then I would, you know, like, I would also have days where I would just sing songs I like, or I'd start dancing around by myself, of course.
mm-hmm.
Okay. I have six children. I'm married for 23 years. And, you know, it's just, this is the first time I've been, like, trying something different, trying yoga and all these things for, like, the last 6 months. And, It's very different and very eye-opening, and I feel a connection between my mind and my body and my spirit, you know.
Okay.
So it's very awakening in a way, but also, I don't know. I've never been a person who's like a judgmental person, ever. I've never had a struggle with that. You know, like some people may struggle with that. I've never mm-hmm. been that way. But I've always worried about what other people think of me. I'm a people pleaser type of person. So I have to, I can't, you know, tell anybody that I'm actually looking into this, or, you know, they would just, like, flip out, you know, because nobody would accept that in my world, you know.
Sure, sure.
So that's a struggle for me.
Well, I picked a card for you, and the card is the seal. The seal is about imagination. Immerse yourself in artistic and creative expression. So if you know anything about a seal, we all know seals. They're most comfortable when they're in the water and when they're swimming and when they're expressing themselves, when they're dancing and they're just water is, number one, is healing and it's grounding and it's cleansing. So the seal is telling you to get back into water, to get back into the things that cleanse you and just, you know, there are going to be things that come your way. You're going to get out of the water. You're going to be like the seal. You're going to be a little bit awkward. You're in the kind of awkward state right now. Yep. So you're going to be, you know, you're going to be recharging your batteries and try to fit into that old world that you belong to. But now you've discovered this new, you've tasted something that you've never tasted before, or you've seen something you've never seen before. And then now you jump back in the water and you become this creative person that you are. You have 6 children that you're raising, and you have, you know, these people in your lives who don't understand you because you're all a bunch of seals walking around going, you know, doing your thing. But once you jump in the water, you just become this amazing gift, this amazing love, this energy that people see in you, but yet you don't see in yourself because, you know what, you want to please her. You're an empath. You're an empathic person. You feel the energy. You feel when your kids are hurt. You're feeling all this stuff. When I asked you about
art, I don't know.
When I asked you about your artistic and creative expressions, there's things about you that you have not been able to express because you've been so busy with other people's lives, and let alone your own. Here is a time for you to at least take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 20 minutes in your life to paint, to draw, to write, to journal. I always, when I talk to people about these type of things, I ask them to journal. Journal down your thoughts. You journal down exactly what you just told us today, what you're feeling. This is a private journal. You can put it away in your safe, or you can leave it out so people to read. It doesn't matter. The thing is to journal, to express your thoughts on paper and to share. Create your story, your book, this amazing story that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not about just the kids and the spouses and the uncles and the grandma and grandpa. Life is about you also and how important you are to all these people. These people know that you're important, but we need to find your heart and to share and say, hey, you know what? I'm important too, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm loved. Yeah. God loves me, you know? Spirit loves me. Yeah. Spirit's talking to me. Spirit told me to call this show and talk to Iggy and his friends today and talk about seals in the water. Mm-hmm. You know what, darn it, I'm going to go paint something tomorrow, you know, even if it's the stupidest thing ever painted.
Well, I was just looking at seals today, too. That's the weird thing.
Oh,
I was just like, oh, my God, they're so beautiful. And then you just said that. I'm crying now.
I mean, that's
so
how
emotional.
It works sometimes. That's how it works, my sister. Sometimes it's that simple and that easy.
Yeah.
And I know my friends want to share some things with you as well. And, David, you have something for us?
Oh, if I may go. First of all, when Iggy was saying that about seals, I thought, you know, a seal in the water is what it's designed for. You know, it may be a little awkward out of, but when it's in its element, it flows and it's just beautiful. So the card I pulled for you today, my dear, is I pulled cleansing of spirit. I pulled the rain card, which is the cleansing of spirit, release of old emotions, receiving strength for future growth and development. When you think about the rain and it comes down and it just washes over your whole body, it cleanses you. It lets those old things go by, those old hurts, those old emotions, those old connections sometimes pass away and get grounded back into the earth. It stimulates you for growth and development. It gives you strength to move on. So this is a pivotal point in your life. You're actually transitioning from an old belief system and an old way of living into a new one. And that's your choice and your decision and your path to walk. Nobody else can walk that for you. And when it comes down to it, you know, no one's going to live and die for you. It's all your life. So, although I know you want to honor the people here in your life, and you know, there's a degree of that. You're going to grow beyond what their paradigm of life is. You know, you're going to grow beyond it. So, just knowing that and moving forward with that, it'll all be as you want it to unfold. But you've got an amazing amount of strength behind you. And you're growing, and it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing you just said about the relationships, because I'm, for the first time in my life, actually dealing with past relationships and emotions that, you know, I really never let go of. Like, it's pretty much one relationship, but, you know, like, there's that one relationship that you never really quite dealt with, you know, that type of thing. And then it's really hard because when all this stuff is coming out of you, you're feeling all that again, and you have to go through that again, you know. And it's very difficult.
It's healing,
you know,
though. I mean, that's how healing happens.
Yeah,
really.
It is healing. It's very difficult to heal sometimes, I think. I don't know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It can be painful.
Sure.
Ugh, hurts.
Yeah. Now, what it's better, though. It does get better.
What is the ages between your children?
My youngest is 9.
Okay.
My youngest is 9, she's 9, and then my oldest is 23, and I have one grandchild.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Nice.
You sound so young.
Yeah, I'm 43. I started young. You know, that's what I've been doing for the past 23 years, you know, and now I'm like, what's going on? I'm going through this, like, I don't know, mini midlife crisis thing. I don't know what's going on with me.
Well, here's
but
what's going to
happen.
Kids are going to start asking questions about stuff.
I know.
And I think what's happening, you know, they're starting to discover themselves as well. So here, all of you are going to be in this magic journey together.
Right.
Yeah.
And something I got is treat yourself to a deep tissue massage.
Ooh, sounds good. To me or her?
You're doing some cleansing and releasing. A deep tissue massage is going to help release some things inside of you and help to let things go. It'll hurt, but it'll hurt so good. I've had
the relaxation, but not the deep tissue. I'm kind of scared of the deep tissue, but I probably should do it.
Go ahead. It's going to loosen up some sinews, some tight
blockages,
muscles, some blockages.
Yeah.
And usually after a deep tissue massage, you have to go to the bathroom quite a bit, too, because your body is releasing. Your body's releasing stuff, you know, toxins and stuff that's then held onto that, you know, muscle memory and different things that's down deep inside of you. And I love deep tissue massages, but I always try to,
stay close to a bathroom.
No, also, during, I have to bury my face in a pillow or something because I'm moaning and groaning like a...
You're enjoying this too much.
I'm scared. I don't like pain. Listen, I've given birth 6 times. I don't like pain. I don't want to go through pain. So I'm like, I don't know. Should I go through the relaxation massage?
Well,
the deep tissue.
You know what?
I always go for relaxation.
You're giving birth to a new you, though. You know?
You're getting stuff out and get rid of the toxins.
So go ahead. And that way. Oh my God! Yeah.
Go get a deep tissue massage. Maybe someone will treat you one for the holidays. But make it a point, even if you have to
tell them that you
want
to
save up for it.
Tell
them you want one. Because there's
my sister can do that too.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
She's a massage therapist, so I should probably ask her for that. But I don't know.
I have to grind down into my back muscle. And, it felt so good. I was like, oh.
Shoot.
It feels good. It hurts. It's one of those hurts so good.
Right.
It's like it feels good, and you can feel the pleasure and the pain at the same time.
You know what's so cool?
Okay.
This whole story.
I'll have to trust you on that one.
Pounds on my head just constantly. Spirit saying there's 6 versions of herself with her other significant other. There's 6 versions of you right in front of you.
Yeah.
Different aspects of you, you know, all the lineage that's right there and all the names that are behind all those names. I can just picture all these 6 children in front of me right now. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty
powerful. I just been feeling like a bad mother lately, and that's a hard thing too. Like, you know, because I'm getting depressed. I'm secluding myself, you know, type of thing. And they need me, but I feel like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm going off all these pharmaceuticals this last 6 months, too.
Right.
A lot of changes happening. Okay, so it's like I'm going through shock or something, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought I needed to call and you guys helped me. Thank you.
The massage will help get those toxins from those pharmaceuticals out of your system also. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I just want to say, too, that Spirit's like a little playmate that's been wanting to connect with you all these years, you know, and been now there's the opportunity. So you're going to see a lot of messages coming through, a lot of signs like the seal today. You're going to have, Spirit's going to be talking to you in so many ways and wants to connect with you. So
yeah.
just just relax.
And just feel free to reach out to us anytime. We're available.
Yeah, we are a resource for you. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
We're here
for
you.
I will be calling back because I love all you guys and I've been listening to you guys. And it's the first time I called in, but because I'm, I don't know, nervous Nelly, whatever. My heart starts pounding if I start talking to somebody new, you know, a type of person, you know.
Sure.
Or if you need a, send a personal message on Facebook or something, too.
Right,
absolutely.
Yeah, I do do that. That's easier for me. But I love you guys, and I really appreciate all your help.
Right
back to you. I really do.
Thank you very
much. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Any closing thoughts?
It's all love.
It's all love. Very good.
Eat a bowl of ice cream.
A bowl of ice cream? All right. Sounds good.
That's for somebody out there.
Yeah, me.
After your deep tissue massage.
I kept hearing that in my mind.
No.
Eat a bowl of ice cream.
It's
eat
funny
because
I heard massage, so you beat me to the punch on
you
that.
You know, it's so wonderful to hear people start to connect again with their original natures like that. You know, I'm not saying that there's not a lot of things that you can learn from a particular belief system, but if you feel trapped or stifled, or you know it's time to grow past it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people never do. They're comfortable there. They've got different path to walk, but it's always nice to see someone connect again with themselves and their inner, the child that was so fascinated with nature and felt that love that is there. So.
And you can't ignore it.
No, you can't.
You can ignore it. But you can't ignore it. Do you know what I'm saying?
It'll keep coming
back. It just keeps coming back. It's one of those things you just say, well, it'll haunt you.
Yeah.
In a good way. And I don't want to say in a bad way, but it'll you'll hear that voice constantly.
Right.
2 years have passed, then you hear it again. You're like, oh, God. And then you know what happens? People get tired of hearing you.
Right.
And then you get tired of hearing yourself. So sometimes you got to follow on that. You know, you got to jump on it and just kind of go with the wave, like you said, and go with the rain and go be like the seal.
Mm-hmm.
Get grounded and get in the connected, you know, get into that. Dig in there like the badger, you know. You gotta. No one says it's going to be easy.
No.
But then no one says it had to be hard.
Right.
So that's the other side I like.
It's an adventure.
Yeah, it's an adventure. It's a journey. It's one of those things you get to do. You get to draw again, paint again. You get to give someone a Hershey's bar. You get to do anything, you know.
Things in new ways.
Yeah. And, I mean, I love all our callers for sharing their stories. I mean, those are super important.
Very nice.
Right.
I mean, the things they are sharing are very personal and very deep. And, you know, I learn a lot from them, you know.
So do I.
Absolutely.
When I hear something, man, I've heard that. I heard myself say that. Or, wow, you know, I get to be witness to what they're saying, which is powerful.
It's an honor.
Super honor.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
And tomorrow we have Lunchtime Wisdom with Katie, myself, and Mark Matheny. Ah. So those of you who want to join us, and then we'll be back next week and get ready for the holidays. And it should be fun. We're going to have some new lineups coming up. We're going to be working on here. And should be exciting.
Oh,
yes,
chuckling.
We have like a sex talk thing.
Oh,
the Lion's Lair.
The Lion's Lair. Oh, boy. Okay.
Women who are and men who are frustrated in their whatever.
Advice.
So the women.
Brought to you by Trojan.
Adrian and Katie will be running that show. We get to come in from time to time.
Sure, sure. Okay.
All right, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Love you very much.
Love
we'll see you next time.
Yep.
Adios.
Adios.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplanes. Lenny Bruce is not a and burn.